The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God.
Hey, I want to hear from you. Would you consider emailing me? You can reach me at greg@harvest.org. Again, that's greg@harvest.org. And you can also make me one of your friends on Facebook and drop me a comment. You know, you mess up. You say, I messed up. I did so many things wrong, but this is what the Lord has done for me. That's turning your mess into a message and turning your test into a testimony.
Your life may seem like it's little more than broken, shattered pieces. Today, Pastor Greg Laurie points out the Lord can heal your brokenness and use you once again.
Jesus can take whatever wrong you've done and forgive and, yes, heal and be glorified in your life still.
This is the day.
There's a special form of Japanese pottery called kintsugi. It means golden joinery. Broken ceramics are restored with a lacquer resin mixed with powdered gold, silver, or platinum. The repairs are obvious and beautiful. The Bible speaks of us as God's workmanship. We may have some cracks and chips, but God can heal us in a beautiful way and make us vessels of honor. And today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie explains how we can be fit for the Master's use.
Now, by nature, I will admit it, I am a messy person. How many messy people do we have out there? Just own it if you're kind of messy. You live in clutter. You have a lot of cats in your house. No, not that, but how many of you are very tidy, neat people? Raise your hand up. Okay. How many of you who are messy are married to a tidy person, or you're tidy and you're married to a messy person? Yeah, so you all need marriage counseling, don't you? Right? Yes. But you know, my desk is always cluttered. I have lots of books stacked up, papers, drawings from my grandchildren, half-eaten burritos, my collection of Powder Puff Girls figurines. No, that's a joke. It's actually Hello Kitty figurines. No, anyway. But so, you know, I live in clutter and I'll clean it up. But listen, I've got good news for messy people, especially those who have made a mess of their lives, is the Lord is really good at cleaning up our messes, right? He can turn your mess into a message, and he can turn your test into a testimony. Talk about a guy who messed up his life. Moses really blew it big time. Taken into the court of Pharaoh, being trained, presumably, to be the next Pharaoh of Egypt. He knew this was not the life he wanted to live, and being a Jew himself, he wanted to help his fellow Jews get out of the bondage of Egypt. He sensed his destiny early on, but he had the right idea, but he certainly went about it in the wrong way. And he went out one day looking at the treatment of the Jews, and he saw an Egyptian taskmaster who was especially cruel, beating a Hebrew, and he stepped in, and the Bible says he looked to the right, he looked to the left, and he killed the guy, hit him in the sand, which isn't a great idea if you're trying to hide something, because sand shifts. It was quickly discovered. The Pharaoh found out, effectively put a contract out on the life of Moses. Moses has now gone from the prince of Egypt to being a fugitive from Egypt. So as our story opens, he's moved off to the wilderness and he's been there for 40 years. And now the Lord comes and speaks to the 80-year-old Moses. Let's read about it together. Exodus 3, starting in verse 1. One day Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian. And he went deep into the wilderness near Sinai, the mountain of God. Suddenly, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire in a bush. Moses was amazed because the bush was engulfed in flames, but it didn't burn up. Moses said to himself, "Amazing! Why isn't this bush burning up? I must go over and see this." And when the Lord saw he had caught Moses' attention, God called to him from the bush, "Moses, Moses." "Here I am," Moses replied. God told him, "Do not come any closer. Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground." We'll stop there. God proceeds to tell Moses he's seen the suffering of his people. And now he is appointing Moses to go back to the Pharaoh and demand the release of the Jewish people. And Moses was stunned. He hadn't heard from God for 40 years. Now you would have thought that Moses would have fallen down on his face and said, "Thank you, Lord, for second chances." But instead, he becomes a human excuse machine. Now this may sound humble at first, like I'm not worthy. But in reality, God had called him, so it was an act of disobedience. Let's look at his excuses, because these are the same excuses we offer as to why God would never work through us. Excuse number one, Moses effectively says, "I'm not deserving to be used by God. I don't deserve to be used by God." Exodus 3:11. "Who am I to appear before Pharaoh?" Moses asked God. "How can you expect me to lead the Israelites out of Egypt?" He did have a point. If you were God, would you have picked Moses? I'm going to use this guy that murdered the Egyptian. The Lord seems to go out of his way to pick, well, flawed people. Maybe it's so he'll get the glory ultimately. God is not looking, as I've said many times, for ability. He's looking for availability. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Really, what he wants is just for someone to say, "Well, Lord, I'm in. I'll go. I'll do it if you want me to do it." Moses says, "Well, I'm not deserving." Well, no, we're not deserving, but it's not based on what we deserve. It's the grace of God that he calls us by. Number two, Moses effectively says, "But I don't have all the answers." Verse 13. Moses protested, "If I go to the people of Israel and tell them the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, they won't believe me. They'll ask, 'Well, which God are you talking about? What is his name? So what should I tell them?'" God replies, "I am who I am. Just tell them, 'I am has sent me to you.'" So Moses basically says, "Who am I?" God responds, "I am that I am." In other words, Moses, it's not about you. It's about me. Excuse number three, the people won't believe me. Exodus 4, go over one chapter. Exodus 4, Moses protested again. "Look, they won't believe me. They won't do what I tell them. They'll just say the Lord never appeared to you." Now let me stop there for a moment and say he has a point. Because remember, after he killed the Egyptian, he saw two Hebrews arguing and he tried to intervene. And one of them said, "Who made you a prince and a ruler over us? Are you going to kill us as you killed the Egyptian?" So the point was they were not initially responsive to his leadership. So he said, "I want to do that again. I don't want to have him reject me again." Verse 2, Exodus 4. The Lord asked him, "What do you have there in your hand?" Moses replied, "Well, it's a shepherd's staff. Throw it down on the ground," the Lord told him. So Moses threw it down and it became a snake. Moses was terrified and he turned and ran away. That makes me laugh, actually. Then the Lord told him, "Now take hold of its tail." So Moses reached out and grabbed it, and it became a shepherd's staff again. "Perform this sign," the Lord says, "and they will believe you." And the Lord told him, "They'll realize that the Lord God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to you." So we'll stop there. So I see this as a somewhat comical scene. What is that? A shepherd's staff, throw it down, throws it down, turns into a snake, probably a cobra. The cobra was the symbol of Egypt and a very venomous snake. You get bit by a cobra, you may not be long for this world. So the Lord says, "Pick it up by the tail." One thing you never do with a snake is pick it up by its tail. I know because I used to collect snakes. Don't ask me why. But when I was a kid, I had this great fascination with reptiles and snakes in particular. And I used to catch them in the wild as well as buy them from pet shops. And then when you catch a snake, you know, you're sort of following it through, it's slithering ahead of you, and you can, there's a little instrument you can use, sort of a pronged instrument, and if you can get it on the snake's neck, not easy to do, hold him in place, reach down and pick him up, or you can do it with your foot. And so we would step on the snake's head kind of lightly and then reach down, get him by the back of the head and then grab the rest of his body and then throw him into a pillowcase and be bit by him probably 4 times in the process. But the reason you hold him at the back of the head is so he can't bite you. You pick a snake up by its tail, it can rear right back and strike. And so Moses obeyed God, so you got to give him credit. He picks up the cobra probably, and now it turns back into a staff again. Now, as I said, the serpent, the cobra, was a symbol of Egypt. It's also a symbol of Satan. So in effect, the Lord is saying, I want you to face your fears. Here's a symbol of Egypt. Take the snake by the tail. Or as the expression states it, take a tiger by the tail, right? Go for it. Don't be afraid. Face your fears.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment. We hear stories from listeners who experience tough times, but have also found hope through the ministry of Harvest.
Last year ended in darkness and gloom. My husband and I went far away from God, but this pandemic pulled me closer to Him than I could even imagine. We rededicated our lives back to God through Harvest at Home. We returned prodigals, and I thank God for your ministry.
It's so encouraging to hear of the changed lives through Harvest at Home. Experience Harvest at Home for yourself at harvest.org. And if you have a story to tell of how these studies have touched your life or that of a family member, I hope you'll connect with us today. Call our special number, 1-866-871-1144. That's 866-871-1144. Well, today, Pastor Greg is offering some important reassurance for our times of fear and uncertainty. We're studying the life of Moses in the series Water, Fire, Stone.
I wonder what fears you're facing right now. Maybe I'm talking to somebody that is an addict. You're an addict to drugs. Maybe it's meth, pot, heroin, some other drug. I don't know what it is. Maybe you're an alcoholic. You drink every single day and you can't break free from it. And you've tried and you've failed and you've just given up. Okay, I'm telling you, take the snake by the tail. Face your fears and know this. God is bigger than your addiction, and He can deliver you from the power of it. But you have to stop making excuses for it. And you have to stop blaming it on other people and own it. This is you. You need to be willing to change. You need to bring it into the light of day. Make yourself accountable to others. Say, help me with this. Pray for me. Maybe you need to go to rehab or get some kind of treatment. But face it and attack it. And don't let it control you for another day. We know the story of David and Goliath. And you remember David, the little shepherd boy, faced off with this 9-foot-6-inch massive individual named Goliath who was armed and body armor and had everything. And David's got a little sling and a rock. But he had the Lord. Or rather, should I say, the Lord had him. And I love how the story unfolds. Goliath is there, and what does David do? He attacks him. David doesn't retreat. That would make sense. He doesn't even hold ground. He runs toward his opponent, whipping that sling around, praying the whole time. And like a guided missile, it implants itself into the forehead of Goliath, who crashes forward to the ground. Then David, what does he do? He gets Goliath's sword and he cuts off his head. By the way, that dude had a big head. Probably took a while. I'm serious. Then afterwards, he holds it up. By the way, that's one way to get ahead in life, right? Just like head of Goliath, ladies and gentlemen. These are the jokes. Okay, so here's how you face a giant. You attack it, and you cut its head off. You go, this is gross. What are you even talking about? How do you tackle an addiction? How do you tackle a problem? You bring it out in the light of day. You do it in the power of the Lord, and you cut off any opportunities to continue to live that way in the future. So he took the snake by the tail. All right, so in closing, what are the takeaway truths from this message? Number one, ask God to forgive you. If you've messed up like Moses, admit you've messed up. And as I said in another message, try to fail forward. In other words, learn from your mistakes. You see, Moses learned some important lessons. First, in the court of Pharaoh, where he was schooled in the ways of Egypt, he knew Egyptian culture, Egyptian art, Egyptian military strategies. He knew about all the Egyptian deities. This would all come in handy when he was facing off with the Pharaoh. And in the wilderness, he learned how to deal with wayward sheep. That would come in handy as he led an army of people through the wilderness for 40 years. He learned why impulsiveness was a bad idea, and he learned how to wait on the Lord. Number two, if possible, ask for forgiveness from those you have hurt. So if you've hurt people, apologize. Apologize to your parents. Apologize to your ex-spouse. Apologize to your children. Oh, you should never apologize to a child. Yeah, you should. If you've hurt them, if you've been wrong. Well, I don't want them to see my flaws. They know your flaws, trust me. Just say, you know what? That time that I did that thing, I was wrong. And I ask you to forgive me. You would be amazed at the healing power in saying something like that. Because I see this happen a lot. You know, fathers, I don't want to pick on you, but I will. You know, you mess up. Maybe you walk out on your family. Or maybe you're an absentee father. But moms too, it happens. And then the children get older and you have no relationship with them. And then you have no relationship with your grandchildren. And it's this miserable scenario. Did it ever occur to you that you could go to your child, even your adult child, and say, I wasn't the father I should have been. I wasn't the mother I should have been. And I am really sorry. Would you give me another chance? You might be surprised what will happen. That all of a sudden healing could start taking place. So if necessary, apologize. And listen to this, make restitution. That's a word we don't hear much these days, restitution. So we'll say, oh, sorry I did that. I just went and wrecked your car. Sorry I wrecked your car on purpose. Forgive me. I forgive you. Okay, bye. Wait, hold on. Buy him a new car. That's called restitution. Zacchaeus was a man who took advantage of other people financially. He met Jesus and his life was changed, and he came out and publicly announced, I will restore four times whatever I took from any person wrongfully. Jesus said, truly salvation has come into this guy's life today. See, we don't think of restitution. Well, I'm sorry. Well, that's nice to say you're sorry. Can you fix it? Let's say that you spread a rumor about someone that was not true. You even put it on social media. It was found to be false and wrong. Oh, you go to them, sorry, let your repentance be as widely known as your sin. You spread the false message, now spread the right message. So we won't do that. We'll just apologize, but if possible, make restitution. And listen to this. Now your failure, mistake, or sin is a part of your story. Maybe you'll use it as an object lesson. Don't do this thing because I did this thing and I faced the consequences of it and I wished I'd never done it and I don't want you to make the same mistake. That's failing forward, friend. And that's turning your mess into a message and turning your test into a testimony. You say, this is what the Lord has done for me. I messed up. I did so many things wrong, but the Lord did this for me. Remember the story of Malchus, that guy who led the charge to arrest Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? And Simon Peter pulled out his sword, took a swing, off comes the guy's ear. So what does Jesus do? He heals the man's ear, the ear of Malchus. So by the way, I found out through careful study, Malchus's last name was Van Gogh, Malchus Van Gogh. Google it later. Van Gogh cut his ear off. Forget it. Okay, he's an artist, Dutch artist. Okay. Anyway, I digress. Delayed reaction. And the delayed reaction is, I get it, and it wasn't funny, so what's the point? Why are we wasting time while you... Let's just stay a little longer here. Okay, we're done. Okay. Jesus' last miracle was covering up the blunder of a disciple. Now, if I were Jesus, I wouldn't have healed that guy. I'd have said, serves you right. Jesus healed him. Boom. Jesus can take whatever wrong you've done and forgive and, yes, heal and be glorified in your life still. So in closing, maybe there's somebody here that doesn't even have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We're talking about what it is to know the Lord. Is he living inside of you? Is your sin forgiven? You've tried to be a good person. You've tried to live a good life. You've tried to change your life and you failed. You need help. You need God. You need Christ who died on the cross for your sin and rose again from the dead 3 days later to come and live inside of you. And I'd like to close by giving an opportunity for you to pray and ask him to come into your life right now, because he stands at the door of your life and he knocks and he says, if you'll hear his voice, he'll come and live inside of you. But you need to ask him to do that. And I'd like to close in prayer by extending an invitation for you to put your faith in Jesus so he can turn your mess into a message. Let's pray. Now, Father, I pray for any person here who does not know you, wherever they are. I pray that your Holy Spirit will convict and convince them of their need for you, that they would come to you and believe. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Pastor Greg Laurie with an important closing prayer. And if you'd like to make a change in your relationship with the Lord today, Pastor Greg will help you do that in just a moment before today's edition of A New Beginning concludes. If you missed any part of this study, you can hear what you missed by going online to harvest.org. Just look for the message called How God Can Turn Your Mess into a Message. If you'd like a CD copy, just call us at 1-800-821-821. 3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. You know, Pastor Greg, there's no doubt that somebody listening right now is going through a very tough challenge.
Yeah.
It may be the result of the pandemic or maybe a marriage issue or financial problems.
Right.
What kind of help and encouragement can they find by way of the new DVD, I Still Believe, that we're making available right now?
Well, you know, I think, Dave, that what we need to do is we need to turn to God during crisis. You know, one of my favorite Bible stories is when there was a storm on the Sea of Galilee, and those seasoned sailors began to despair of life. They thought they were going to drown. And suddenly they see a phantom-like figure approaching them on the water. Some even thought it was actually a ghost. And suddenly they realize it wasn't a ghost. It was Jesus. And the reason they didn't recognize him is because, well, they weren't looking for him. And a lot of times we're not looking for Jesus in our times of difficulty, but we need to. So here was Jesus walking on the water. And they invited him on their boat. You know, it's interesting. He might have walked right by had they not invited him in. And we have a choice when we face hardship. We can try to face it on our own, or we can invite Christ into our crisis. We can invite the Lord into the challenges we're facing. Well, I have a movie I want to send you. You maybe have heard of it. It was a hit film. It's called I Still Believe. Amazing performances by top-rate Hollywood actors, expertly directed by the Irwin brothers, telling a powerful story of hope during difficult circumstances. In fact, the most difficult imaginable. It's a story of how God can come to you in your times of difficulty, as he came for Jeremy and Melissa Camp as they were facing cancer together.
I want you to know that whatever this is, and wherever it takes us, that I'm with you. Every step, every moment, I'm with you. I'm in. I'm so in. And I figure if we're gonna get married, we have a lot to talk about.
Married?
Yeah. I love you. And I know relationships need to be prayed about, and you can take as much time as you need, but that's why I brought you here.
Yes. I'll marry you. I'll marry you.
So order your copy of I Still Believe from us. And listen to this. We'll send it to you for your gift of any size. If you order it from us, you enable us to continue to bring the gospel to people and teach the word of God to people. And we'll literally send it to you for your gift of any size. Whatever you send, we'll take those resources and use them to touch more lives with the truth of God's word. So order your own copy of I Still Believe, the movie on DVD. We're ready to send one to you.
Yeah, that's right. It's the kind of movie you won't forget. And it really can change a life. And you know, your investment in this ministry can change a life as well. People are hurting. They're trapped in uncertainty, wondering what the future holds. In fact, we read a moving post on social media the other day that said, "Pastor Greg, I'm almost 13 years old. I'm trying to be the best person I can be, which means I have to be the best Christian I can be. I've been through a lot, and I'm easily broken down, which is why your teaching helps me so much. I have gotten stronger, more positive, more aware. I only listen to you. Never stop preaching." Well, when you invest in a new beginning, you're helping people find their security in Christ. So when you send a donation today, please ask for this new DVD, I Still Believe. You can write us at A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or just go online to harvest.org. And then, Pastor Greg, just before we go, would you mind praying with the person listening who wants to make a change today in their relationship with the Lord?
I'd be happy to, Dave. You know, as you've been listening to this today, maybe you've heard another voice. By that I mean, yeah, you heard me say a few things, but you heard God's voice speak to you deep in the recesses of your heart, and it suddenly dawned on you, this is what I need. Or to state it more accurately, this is who I need. I need Jesus and I want Jesus, but maybe you don't know how to make that connection. Let me help you. Pray this after me right now if you want Jesus Christ to come into your life. Lord Jesus, I know I am a sinner and I am sorry for my sin and I need your forgiveness right now. Would you come into my heart, my life as Savior, as God, as friend? I choose to follow you from this moment forward. Thank you for calling me and accepting me and forgiving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I know that was a relatively short prayer. Maybe you felt something as you prayed it. Maybe you felt nothing. That doesn't really matter because God's word says, these things we write to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. It doesn't say, so you may think you have it, or you may hope you have it if God's in a good mood. No, that you can know it. And I want you to know, if you pray that prayer in a minute, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has come into your life. So congratulations. You're now a Christian. Now continue to follow the Lord.
And to help you as you follow the Lord, we'd like to send you some resource materials we call our New Believers Growth Packet. It'll answer many of the questions you might have and get you started in your new relationship with the Lord. So get in touch and ask for it. We'll send it free of charge. Again, it's the New Believers Growth Packet. Write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or go online to harvest.org and click on Know God. Well, next time, Pastor Greg brings insights on Moses' dramatic confrontation with the Pharaoh of Egypt. More from the series Water, Fire, Stone next time on A New Beginning.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.